To answer is human. To question is divine. Welcome to the world of the Hidden Gateway, an exhilarating podcast exploring the concepts humans have been struggling with since the dawn of existence, such as, who are we? Is there such a thing as good and evil, or are they arbitrary constructs? Does the paranormal exist? How can we evolve to a higher state? Can our mind influence what we term as reality? Providing a transcendental approach combined with hard-nosed humanistic analysis, we invite you on a journey to question your worldview in this theater of life. Join our host, Justin Williams, as he explores the outer realms of faith, the supernatural, human potential, and even our concepts of the universal creator with a fascinating array of guests. This is the unseen world, magical, mysterious, and mystical, where your only limitation is your imagination. This is the Hidden Gateway.
Welcome to another episode of the Hidden Gateway podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Kathy Hagler to the show. Kathy Hagler is a nationally recognized author, coach, speaker, and organizational consultant with over 40 years of experience. She is co-founder of K2OH Solutions, which is an organizational consulting firm. Dr. Hagler is a practitioner of yoga, an accomplished pianist, and she even rides a Harley, which I love. And I want to talk to her about that a little bit. That is like so cool. I used to ride myself many, many moons ago. So we could talk about bikes in a bit. But Dr. Hagler, welcome to the Hidden Gateway podcast. Oh, how you doing?
Thank you, Justin. It's great to be here. It's really great to be here.
Great to have you. And as I told you just a few minutes ago, I will just want to thank you for taking time out your busy schedule to spend with us today. So I've been researching you for a few weeks now, and I see that you have a book coming out this month.
I do.
You are an interesting person, interestingly, and have lived some life. I think you've lived a life that a lot of people can learn from because of your experiences, that some of the things you've been through, the triumphs. You are a warrior and you are a victor. So it's really cool speaking with you today. Can you just take a few minutes and just tell the Hidden Gateway audience a little bit about yourself and why you are where you are today and what you do?
Well, I'm very, very delighted to be here. And I will start out by saying I'm from the state of New Mexico, and I just saw an ad yesterday on social media that said New Mexico was an island, and I thought, oh, I didn't know that, but now I know that New Mexico is an island. A lot of people don't know that New Mexico is a state, so I come from a little state with not a lot of people, but you being in Phoenix probably know that. I'm from New Mexico. Yeah. I told you I lived in 37 houses. Moved from New Mexico to Texas, and then Texas to California, and California to Idaho, and then Idaho to North Carolina. But I'm on a mission.
Yes.
I'm on a mission to really serve people. But the way I want to serve people is I want them to really understand themselves, and I want them to understand themselves very deeply and then be able to work in organizations where the group understands itself and the organization survive. And, you know, it's I started my journey when, and I'll tell you this really briefly, but I'm an only child. And so that means I'm kind of spoiled, but not really.
That's all right.
That's okay. My dad went through the sixth grade, and then he died when I was 14. So I had a real big trauma at a really early age. But he always said to me, he called me Kathy Jan. He said, Kathy Jan, it's all about learning. It's all about education. And if you get enough education and you just keep going and you keep digging yourself out of the mud, you're going to be just really great. And he said, but the key is you really have to help other people. You have to help other people along the way. So after my dad died, I felt like I was kind of given a mission. And my it was, I was singing, believe it or not. I was a Southern Baptist growing up in New Mexico, and I was singing in a group out of Glorieta, New Mexico. We just did a nine-week tour of Europe doing a thing called Good News. And while we were there, that's when my father died. And I just felt like I was on this mission to help people, serve people, and to help them understand themselves and kind of give them the love that I'd been given.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, Kathy. That is beautiful. So I want to talk about your book.
Right? Oh, great. Great.
Now, when is it scheduled? When is it going to be released? Is it the 22nd?
Yes, it's the 27th. The 27th. Okay. The 27th. Okay. It'll be released.
Okay.
And it's called The Art of Scars.
Yes.
And the subheading is Healing Organizations, Culture, Climate, and Character.
Mm. Mm.
So would you like me to tell you a little bit about it?
Of course. I want to hear all about it. Definitely.
Well, I want to start out by telling you why I wrote it. So I, as I said, I grew up as an only child, but I was kind of a sickly kid. I had spinal meningitis before I was one, and then I had cancer by the time I was six, mm-hmm. and then my father died. So I felt like I had a lot of wounds kind of early on, a lot of wounds to my body, and some of them were like the hurt like hell wounds, like when my father died. You know, I really couldn't get my arms around, you know, why that would happen. But then I noticed a really strange thing happening when I got a lot more wounds and kept happening. I noticed that I would start to heal.
Right.
And so I would hurt like hell for a while. And then it's kind of like things started coming together and then I would begin to heal. And what I found was that those wounds turned to scars and the scars made me stronger. So from that, I thought, you know, these scars are giving me wings. And I kind of think that's what the universe is saying to me, is that you have to go through the tough times. But when you go through the tough times, you're going to get wings.
Yes.
And not only did I feel like I have wings, but I feel like I was unique and different. So I'll tell you a funny little story. So when I was six, I had cancer and I had a big scar on my arm. And I was really embarrassed because I was the only kid that had a scar on her arm in school. So I used to wear long sleeves and feel really embarrassed. And then I got the idea that, well, that's not bad. That's really kind of unique. So I started charging a quarter to see my scar.
Wow. Okay. Business minded at a young age, huh?
Yeah. And people started saying, wow, that's really cool. Let me feel it. So I'd let them feel my scar on my arm. But we would talk about it. And what I began to see was scars are unique. They make you beautiful and they make you different. Mm-hmm. And so what I found over many years from being a little girl to getting to be an older girl was that I had a lot of physical and emotional scars. And one of the things that occurred to me is that it's kind of the law of entropy. The second law of thermodynamics says that everything breaks. We're here. Everything breaks. Mm-hmm. Everything breaks.
Everything.
Everything. But guess what? It can heal. And once it heals, and once you use the will that God gives us, once you use that will, and once you use that courage, you can have wings, and you can become unique again. And so I came from this background of saying, I'm sort of alone as an only child. I don't have a dad. You know, we came from a poor family, but I had a lot of scars, but I'm okay. You know, I'm okay, and I can even charge a quarter to see my scars.
How much did you make a week?
I was doing pretty good. But you know, the funny thing is, Justin, is I really learned that I had this feeling inside myself all those years as I was growing up that I was going to be okay and that I was going to get through those scars and that I was going to wake up in the morning and I was going to be okay. And so all of those years, I started seeing that. And then I started working, and what I found was that organizations did the same thing.
Okay,
you know,
wow.
And I started thinking, well, this is kind of interesting, because I had all these scars and I kept getting better and then coming out of it and having wings. But I noticed that organizations broke. As a consultant, I noticed that. And then what was the similarity between me, an only child, a little girl from New Mexico, and an organization that was breaking, but yet when it would heal, it would rise like a phoenix. And so I started looking at what was the similarity between that, between an individual and an organization. And that's when I decided to write the book, because I figured it out.
Right. There you go. There you go. And when I was reading your book, Kathy, I read that you said that you knew that as a young child that your body could heal itself. And then you also said you knew my wounds and brokenness would heal. What was it that, how did you know that? Like, how did you know? How did you know that it would heal, and just have that understanding at such a young age, and realizing that you've been broken and you have these scars, and then you would soon heal. And then you also talked about you knew you were different. What is that?
You know, Justin, that's a really great question. I paid attention to nature.
Okay.
You know, I would go into the mountains. I would sit by the river. I would sit by the places, and I would watch the seasons. And I would see that things flowed in the seasons, and that they would, the trees would get green, and then they would get brown, and then the leaves would fall off, and then they would come back. And so I would say, you know, we're just like nature. You know, we are part of God's world. We're part of creation. I really began to see as a young girl that we're a living thing, and we are honored. We are honored to be humans. We're honored to be on this planet. You know, we're honored to be given this experience as a human being. I love these things on social media when it has the dog saying, "Where's my human?" You know, "Where's my human?"
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Because I feel like we're all part of living things, and I've always felt like I'm a part of a living thing, and I have a lot to give back, and I'm privileged to be a human because I have this mind. You know, and I saw the fact that I had the mind, I was part of nature, but I was part of the green earth, but I also had seasons. And I knew that, and it was something very intuitive to me that I knew that, and I really believed in the creator. I believed that I was created for a purpose. I believed that I was created to be here for a reason. And it kept, every time I broke, I saw a little more of the reason.
Wow.
And it's only lately that it's really getting really clear to me. And I guess I was talking to the universe the other day, and I said, you know, why didn't you tell me this when I was six? But that's not the way it works. You know,
right.
It's just not the way it works. We have to grow into it. We have to have our brokenness. We have to have our opportunities to evolve. And I believe that I've had those opportunities to evolve. And I think for really good reasons, I feel like I've taken them, and I continue to take them. And so that's kind of how I started.
Wow. Amazing. You know, isn't it something about the experience of it all? I mean, you know, we have those great times in life, and then we have what I like to call challenging times, right? I don't even like to call them bad times, but I think they're necessary. Right. When you go through those traumas, when you go through those challenges, it doesn't always feel good, but it's necessary because those are the times when you learn, when you grow. And then if you have something to be grounded in, whether it be nature, whether it be God, the universe, and you're guided by that spirit. Right. And you go through those times. And then after you get through, you look back at, you know, later on, for me personally, it's like years later. And I say, oh, wow, God, thank you. Thank you. It didn't feel good, But wow, look what this experience did for me, you know. So I'm kind of hearing that from you a bit as well, yes?
Yes, yes. And I, this is a particularly interesting time for me because next week it'll be 20 years since my son was killed. And yeah, he was killed right after 9/11, the same year. He was in the Navy, and he, right after 9/11, he and his shipmate were headed to the ship, and they hit a deer and went over a mountain, and he died instantly. And I look back at that and think, you know, I think that I could never have done this had I not had that.
Wow. Wow. Right.
I think there's something about scars that help you evolve. I don't think I could have been as strong. I don't think I could have been as stable. I don't think I could have ever written this book. I don't think I would have ever seen what I saw between people and culture and organizations had I not had this opportunity to really struggle with the scars that I struggled with when Jeff was killed. Jeff was my baby. He was my friend. And so I think, but he's with me, you know, we go for walks in the morning, me and Jeff. Beautiful. So I kid myself, and sort of out of my book came the fact that there's three parts of me. There's my super conscious. And I have this strong feeling that Jeff's with me every morning. And cause he's out there floating with the big boys, you know, and so he'll be with me, you know. And then I have my subconscious, which I call Kathy Jan. That's my middle name.
Right.
And she's the little girl inside me who's always scared of everything. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. That's really scary. That's going to not work out real well. And then there's Kathy, my conscious mind. So Kathy and Kathy Jan and Jeff go for walks in the morning. That's how we meditate. But what we do is we really look at what is it I need to do today? You know, where do I need to put my energy? Where do I need to put my heart today? Mm. And it's been, I don't think I could have ever done it without some of the scars I have. And I think that's part of the motivation for, I don't think I could have written the book without having Jeff in my life and having the scar that he's not here physically anymore.
Mm. Now, SCARS is an acronym as well. What does that stand for?
So SCARS stands for five things. And I created this as I learned to do Kintsugi. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But SCARS stands for first stop. Stop the broken thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful world. And you have to find a way in your subconscious to stop those broken thoughts. And once you stop those broken thoughts, C stands for courageously breathe and calm the fear in your subconscious mind. And once you know that fear is really false evidence of things appearing real, and it's really not real, it's just from your habits and your beliefs, it's not real, it's not what God wants you to see. So once you can stop the broken thoughts and say, oh, I don't want to look at it that way. I want to look at it and calm the fear and say, no, no, that's not what's going to hurt me. And then I move to A, which is allow connectivity with others. It's other people. It's other people that you need to be with. It's, in fact, one of my teachers said, you know, it's not a struggle for survival. It's a snuggle for survival. So what we have to do is we have to come together as a human race and as living things, and we have to come together and grow together. SCARS say, stop this broken feeling inside me, figure out what it is, calm the fear because it's false, and then allow people to come together in your space. Hold space for them, let them hold space for you. So then once you allow this connectivity, and I don't think you can do it without connectivity. It's connectivity to nature. It's connectivity to super conscious. It's connectivity to my friends. It's to my workers. Then you go to the second one, which is then you begin to reinvent yourself. Then you can say, okay, I see it now. you know, now I know that I can be here. And I love it when I think about scars actually focused on opening opportunities for evolution. And so, but it's through reinvention. It's through seeing things different. And then S stands right. for share my story. And that's what you're letting me do today. So scars yes. is
and a beautiful story. It is.
Stop the broken feelings, you know, calm your fears, allow others to connect with you, reinvent your actions, and then share your story. So that's sure. scars.
Now that's scars is beautiful. Now that first S stop, and you said stop the voices and the fears. Do like for you personally, do those come from, you called her Mary Jane. What was her name?
Kathy Jan.
The young child.
Kathy Jan. Kathy Jan, my southern name.
So how do you deal with that? Because I think a lot of people have that issue, right? I mean, they want to live in peace. They want to have that joy, but it's that voice, those thoughts that come and say, no, you can't do that. You're not worthy. Why would you do that? Like, so, what's the process of letting that go?
So, through the process of the work that I've done individually with my scars and through organizations, I've learned, and through yoga, I've learned that through all that process, you can actually deal with those broken thoughts and feelings. And the way you do it is from a psychology point of view, I call that sort of it's the footlight of consciousness. So what happens is when you're walking along and you say, ooh, I'm going to worry about that today. You know, I'm going to worry. Like today I was worried about our interview and I was thinking, ooh, that's kind of scary. You know, I'm going to meet this new person and I'm going to hope I'm going to do okay. And so I stopped my thought. It was a footlight of consciousness. And the way James, the psychologist, used to talk about it is it's like the old vaudeville when the footlights would come on the stage and you could see the actors. So the footlights of consciousness comes on and I said, what's scaring me? You know, Beth's already told me that Justin's not a scary person. So I'm not going to be scared about this. So I start naming my fear. I bring it out, my thought and my feeling, and I look at it and say, what is this? What is this thing that's bothering me? It's like you know what a trigger feels like? You get triggered. Something triggers you. That's right. So it's a matter of feeling the trigger and then naming it. So you feel the trigger and you call it out and you say, well, I'm kind of nervous about tonight. So I called out my fear and I named it. And then I said, well, that's kind of false evidence appearing real. You know, this is I wrote the book and Beth told me he was a really nice guy. Besides, he lives in Arizona. So, I mean, I'm feeling good about all this. And so I was able to then calm myself. And then I called my friend and I said, I want to talk about my interview and talk about how this is going to go. And so I connected with somebody and then I did some yoga. I took deep breaths. I did a lot of breathing exercises and you calm yourself down and you come to a point where you feel you've evolved. And I want to learn to, through the book, I want people to understand how to do that alone. But I also want organizations to learn how to do that. And they're much more complex because they're not just one person. They're a whole bunch of people all mixed together.
Right. Now, what are some of the common, if there are any common issues that you help organizations with? Like, give me an example. What would an organization be going through to where you would step in and say, okay, I see, I understand what's going on after diagnosing the issues. This is what needs to be done to resolve the issue and to bring the organization up, to level up.
So a lot of what happens that I've seen, and I think one of my breakthroughs of the book is that I understand culture, and I understand that most people are saying, well, I wish we could fix the culture. I wish I understood what culture meant. But I understand that culture of an organization is just you and me and those people out there. So culture is made up of the subconscious of all of us. And the subconscious of all of us have fears. So if you think about culture, there's a whole bunch of us put together and we have our own habits, our own fears, and our own thoughts. And so when I go into an organization and they may be having some trouble with a hiring practice. So then I try to go back and say, well, so what's going on with the folks, with the people? And I have some tools I use to say, how do we measure your beliefs? How do we understand what you're thinking about? How do we understand so that we can understand what the differences are in your beliefs so that we can uplift those beliefs so that we can actually make the work better?
Okay.
And there's, I'm brought in for numerous reasons. One of my recent clients brought me in because they said, I really want to know what the future looks like. I want to know what the Puget Sound area in Seattle is going to look like for the next 50 years, not five, 50. So 50. I created a 50-year plan for my client. But the way I did it was I helped them look at all the possibilities. We talked with mayors. We talked with professors. We talked with Microsoft. We talked with Apple. We talked with Google. We looked at flying cars. And they were a highway contractor. So they wanted to know, what's the road going to look like in 50 years? So we even wrote a letter to Elon Musk. So it's a matter of how do you really get people excited about their mission? How do you really get people excited about what they're going to do as a group of people? It goes back to connectivity. How do you get them excited about what they're going to do so that they can do that with you? So I led them through a process of creating a 50-year plan so that they would know what to focus on for the next 50 years. That's in the book, and it's fascinating what they came up with. The number one thing they said they need to pay attention to, and it won't surprise you, but it's part of nature, and that's water. Water and energy. But it's so what I try to do is take their knowledge, their working together, use that almost like an orchestra, have them working together to look at what's possible. I'm a futurist also. I help them look at what's possible in the future and then create the direction that where their work needs to go next. They're the people that actually came from the East Coast and built the dams across the United States. They built the under Washington, D.C., the what's it called in the train system. Anyway, they built the subway. But anyway, so I'm thinking that they had the foresight to do that. So they've got it within them, but they need to come together. They need to be positive. They need to be constructive. They need to work together as a team. And once they do, then they can look ahead and see what they need to do. So that was one of the jobs I've done, but I called in for a lot of different things. One of them was recently I was called in to see with a university if I could help them stop cheating. That's kind of a big one.
Yeah, that is a huge one.
You know, how do you stop cheating? And so, but we started working with students and we started working with their culture and we started working with what's important to them. Then we started working with the faculty and we started working with, what are the things in the culture that are actually causing people to cheat? Well, sometimes it's the way that teachers grade. Sometimes it's the way that they say, well, we're going to have you do all this homework, but your final exam is going to be your grade. And so if people can get a hold of the final exam, if they put the pressure on them, then they're going to figure out, well, especially if it's the one they gave last year. So what you have to do is you have to look between culture and the way work is done and figure out how can we get people to come together, deal with their broken issues and move forward into something that's positive. So both of those things I've worked on recently.
Very good. Very good. You know, Kathy, I want to ask you about something that that's been on my mind ever since I found out I was going to be speaking with you. And that's narcissism in the workplace. You know, obviously, it's something that has historically been on a personal level. Right. But, you know, you see more and more that people are dealing with narcissists in the workplace, whether it be their peers or supervisors. What's the best way for people to deal with that? And have you ever had to do any type of consulting to that? Maybe not specifically, but I just want to know, what's the best way for people to deal with that?
Let's see. I believe that one of the first things that people would need to do to deal with that is to work with an organization so that people could actually see their behavior. Mm. I remember one of the organizations I work with recently, I use an assessment tool called Human Synergistics, which looks at, are you passive? Are you aggressive? Or are you? Do you have a constructive, positive way to look at people? And what I've found is that if I can come in at the level where I can work with the people in the organization that say, let's do an assessment of people's behavior, and you find that there's some people in the organization that are extremely narcissistic, especially aggressive, that if they can see it themselves and they can begin to understand it, they can then be taken through a process of how can they change those particular habits and that particular way of working. I don't know if you've heard of The Biology of Belief, but it's a book written by Bruce Lipton, and I've included that in my book because it's a process that he uses called Psych-K. And it's a process that actually brings people's values out, they bring their habits out, and through using different techniques, they actually help them change their perspectives from being aggressive to being more positive. So I think from narcissism, I think the only way to do it that I see is to really show people, make them aware of their brokenness, go back to scars, you know, help them stop. Help them see their broken beliefs, mm-hmm. their broken thoughts, and then say, well, okay, do you have the courage to not be forceful? Do you have the courage to not be to not deal just in power? Do you have the courage to do it? What would that take? And then have them work with, say, what are the things that show that I'm being narcissistic, and have them then work with other people to help them say, okay, today you're okay. You're not doing that today. So it's getting your peer, it's peer guidance. It's getting your peers to work with you to say, well, today I didn't see you do that. And so getting your peers in there, helping them reinvent who you are. But I think you can't beat around the bush. It's really too hard for, when you see someone that's that aggressive and that narcissistic, you really have to pretty much take it on. So I do a lot of individual coaching in organizations, but I also do a lot of work with the overall culture. But sometimes you just need to work individually with the people.
Well, yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. Now, one thing of interest that I want to ask you about as well is, obviously there's a lot going on in this world, specifically our country today, and there seems to be a divide, right, regarding the whole vaccine. And I've seen and read where a lot of businesses have been doing mandates for employees. You have a lot of people that we're for the mandates, but then it's a whole lot of people that say no, there shouldn't be mandates. In your opinion, how do you feel one's immunization status or lack thereof should be handled in the work setting?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
So, I remember that I had a really wonderful instructor once in Marina Del Rey on character. And what builds a person's character. And he said, there's what we looked at was some work that came out of the Aspen Institute, which to say it's about trust and honesty. It's about respect. It's about having responsibility. It's fairness. It's caring for other people. And it's having a civic, it's having a civic focus about the community. And so I look at those six pillars and I think about the virus and I think about what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's not. And my feeling is that we need to be trusted. And we need to be trusted and we need to, and I know that's, I mean, I've been vaccinated and I know that a lot of my friends have not. And so they say, well, why have you been vaccinated? You know, that's really, you don't really need to do that. But I think part of it is that's my belief. It's almost like, do you believe in euthanasia? You know, I mean, do you or do you not? Or do you believe in abortion? I mean, there's some things that are not necessarily right or wrong. And I don't think we have the science out there one way or the other to prove this. What it's become has been more of it's caused a lot of dissension when I don't think it doesn't need to cause dissension. I don't think it's one of the abortion level, euthanasia level kind of issues, you know, and I don't know yet because we don't know the truth. We don't know all the science. We don't know all what's going on. I mean, we just think we know, but we really don't know. So in the meantime, I think what we have to do is go by our own character and say, you know, about trust and honesty. So I've been vaccinated, but I'm going to wear a mask because I want other people to feel comfortable. And if they don't wear a mask, I'm going to be okay with that because I respect their ideas. And I feel like if I can go in there and be responsible for myself and teach others to be responsible for themselves and be fair, and I know that it's a divider and I know there's differences and we just have to look at it that way. But think about, for instance, we in North Carolina the other day, we had a street fair. Well, for me, you know, I'm thinking that's just what we don't need right now is a big, huge street fair. You know, they canceled it for 2 years, but all of a sudden there's a big street fair. But it's trying to not be judgmental. It's trying to not be judgmental about differences and differences of opinion, because I'm not sure we really know right now, but it's being respectful to those who have their own opinions. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have not been vaccinated. I don't plan to be vaccinated. And I do have an issue with mandates. Absolutely. I think, you know, people should have their freedom to make a decision whether or not they want to receive a vaccination. You know, now how that ties into the workplace in regards to those that believe in the vaccine that may not want to be around people that are unvaccinated. Well, that's tough. That's tough. I don't have the answer to that one, but I certainly know what I believe in. And, you know, if people want to, you know, I'm not the type of person to bash anybody that gets vaccinated, you know, like you. That's your personal choice. That's what you want to do. Not you, but just people in general. Hey, you know, I don't walk in your shoes. I don't know what your reality is like, but I know what my reality is, and I know my beliefs. So, that's pretty much where I stand.
You know, I so agree with you about mandates, and my physician called me and told me that I shouldn't get it.
Oh wow!
And he's a personal friend, and I've done a lot of business planning with him, but he also, my husband has Parkinson's.
Okay.
So I also know that I have a responsibility to make sure that I don't bring anything in. I mean, I'm not going out a lot, but still I want to be respectful and responsible. So I went against my doctor, but mostly because I wanted to be respectful to my husband's health.
Right. Okay.
But, I don't want to be told what to do.
Right.
And I don't want to tell people what to do. It's kind of an individual thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and it's about my scars. It's about my wounds. It's about how I'm going to heal. And you have to let me do it my way. And that's where I think the character comes in, is respect and responsibility for other people. Not judging.
Right.
But that's what mandates cause.
Yeah, right. I could only imagine what this country would look like with the with mandates. You know, you see what's going on in like Australia. It's been crazy over there. Now the people have they've gone to the streets. Brazil as well.
We just started.
Yeah.
But you see, that's a huge scar, isn't it? I mean, if you look at, and I'm not talking about COVID itself being a scar, just the issue of the differences in what it's caused it for us. You know, that's a huge scar in communities that we're going to have to deal with. You know, how are we going to deal with that? Not respecting each other's differences. That's huge.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Now, Kathy, you're a very spiritual person. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. What are your thoughts in regards to what's been going on, you know, over the last 20 months, not even with the pandemic, but, you know, the whole George Floyd situation? It's just been a lot of, I mean, in the riots of 2020, just everything. Do you think there's a spiritual component to it, meaning like a spiritual warfare type situation going on here?
I do.
I see you pause.
And I had to, the reason I say I do is because I think we've gone too far away from our mission.
Okay.
And what we're supposed to do here on earth.
Uh-huh.
As human beings, I think we've gone too much toward hatred. Yeah. I think we've gone too far away from love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've gone too far away from nature. And when I talk about nature, I really believe in God. And I really believe in the fact that God made the nature, but he put us on earth for a really special reason. And we've gone away from that. You know, we've gone away from it from the client perspective, from the climate perspective. I said client, I meant climate. The climate perspective, but the way we treat each other, the way we look at differences, the way we treat animals. You know, I mean, right. Just think about it. I mean, it's pretty horrific.
It's horrible.
I'm just teaching a new class with two other women, and it's going to be called Transforming Perspectives.
Okay.
And it's about transforming beliefs about differences. And how do we all realize that we're human beings and that we're here for love?
Okay.
We're just finishing creating the class, and we're coming at it from, we're not going to call it about bias. It's more about we don't want to look at it as a negative. We want to look at it as how can we put that behind us and say, how can we love each other?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I mean, the thing that happened with Floyd, it made me throw up.
Yeah, it was sickening, definitely sickening.
But it's not, I mean, it's one of millions of things that happens. We just happen to see it.
Right. So true. So true.
But it's because we've gotten far away. We've gotten far away from what we're supposed to be here to do.
Right. But at the same time, do you feel over the last year, year and a half, there's been a almost like a great awakening where a lot of people seem to be becoming awakened or becoming more spiritual? And I'm not talking about like church, right? Like people going to church. I'm just talking about people connecting with the universe, connecting with nature.
I do.
I know I have, and I know you do. Yeah, it's okay. You do for that. Okay. Okay.
I definitely feel that way. I feel that it's turning the corner. I don't have a good sense for, and I wish I did, but I don't have a good sense for what's going to be the impetus, you know, what's going to be that one thing that's going to make the switch happen. I mean, I really do think there's a thing called, you know, it's a big event that happens, like 9/11, you know,
right.
9/11 was a big event that changed the way we looked at the world. You know, I think there's going to be something,
okay,
an event, a thing. Yeah. And I don't think it's happened yet.
Yeah, I believe the same, actually. So it's very, just to hear you say that, I'm like, wow, I believe the same.
I think it's close.
You think it's close? Yes. Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know in what. I mean, we didn't know 9/11 would ever occur, did we?
No, we didn't.
I mean, you know, I was teaching class on an Air Force base the day it happened. You know, that was pretty scary to a bunch of high school kids. But I look at it and I think, you know, of all the events that have happened, we had no idea. So, but I think it's a buildup. I think I think the universe is getting tired of it.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And
I think the universe is, I don't know how to say it, but.
Yeah. Hey, no, that's fine. And I agree. I think the universe is definitely getting tired of it. And I think the universe is aligning its light workers, its people that are here to, you know, to go to work. Right. I mean, there's a lot of toxic, a lot of negativity, a lot of evil in this world. But hey, don't forget about the light now. We can't forget about that. You know, the light is just not going to,
you know, it's down. It's not. And I have to tell you what happened to me this week. So I was taking my daily walk. I walk to town 4 days a week. It's 3.5 miles there and 3.5 miles back. And that's my meditation. So me and Jeff and Kathy Jan walk to town.
Love it.
So I'm walking to town and I was saying, you know, it's kind of my mood was kind of down. And I said to Jeff, I said, you know, I need to know what I need to do next. You know, I finished the book. You know, I've been working on it for 2 years and I need to know, you know, what's my role? Where are you sending me? What's next? Because I know he's up there talking to people. In fact, I know he's up there causing a lot of trouble. I mean, I just know he is. Wherever that is, he's up there doing it. But anyway, so I'm walking along, Justin, and I said, just let me know. Give me a sign. So I stopped at this busy street. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder. Literally. Okay. And there was no one around. And I'm thinking, okay, this is way out of my space. Wow. You know, I'm not used to physical contact.
Right.
I turned around and it was this woman that I didn't even know was standing there. And she said, well, I'm kind of lost. And she said, can you help me find Church Street? I mean, this is the weirdest thing. And so I took her over to Church Street and we talked and she said, I asked her what she did. And she said she was into energy. And I said, well, I was thinking about going to this class. And she said, oh, you were going to go to this class in Michigan. She knew.
What? Wow. How about that?
And I said,
how about that?
Yeah, well, I really was. And she said, but you know, I don't think that's a good class for you. You probably should stay home now. There's some things happening.
Ooh.
So I got home and I already had my plane tickets. I had the room and everything set to go to this class. And I canceled my plane ticket. I canceled everything else. And I said, I'm going to listen.
Yes, there you go. So this happened this week or last week?
This week.
This week. So let me ask you this. When were you scheduled to go to Michigan?
I was scheduled to go to Michigan the 27th of September.
Wow.
I had had paid for the class. I had my ticket. I had the hotel room. And then my friends wanted me to come on to Idaho because they wanted to do a book signing party. I canceled the whole thing.
Wow.
Because, you know, I think we have to pay attention. Yeah. I'm really paying attention.
Yeah. That might have been an angel.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's I think sometimes I'm sent as an angel. And sometimes people are sent to me as angels. I'm sent to people. And then sometimes people are sent to me. But I think if we don't hold the space, if we don't hear, and if we don't really hear, then we're not going to be doing the right thing. And
that is one thing that people really struggle with is having that awareness, right? And hearing and just hearing, because you have so many distractions.
Noise.
Yeah, noise. Exactly. And, you know, intentional noise. Right. And it can be so hard to listen to be able to hear that. So I get it. I get it.
Well, you said two things to me tonight that are going to make me, that I heard. So I'm listening to you. And, and you're an angel for me tonight, because I really do believe that I need to be prepared to talk about how this book fits in with the pandemic, how it fits in with people's decisions they have to make, how it fits in with George Floyd, how it fits in with how people feel. I need to be prepared to think of that. I guess those are hard topics, you know? Sometimes it's easier to just write a book and put it out there and then just kind of let it be. But I didn't ask Beth to help find me some places to interview so I could be a wimp.
Mm. You're a warrior. That's what you are.
I am. Kathy Jan had rather go take a nap.
Yeah.
She's kind of a scared little thing. I'm not.
Right. You're front and center.
But you gave me some things tonight. You really did. And I really want to think about what this means. I think the George Floyd thing, the turning of the time about us going into a new space, and the pandemic is here for a reason. I don't know exactly what it is, but I want to be able to help that energy be guided into so that it helps us as we turn this corner, wherever it is. And I think the energy's building around that. And it's going to be, I think it's a wound, but I think it's going to turn into a scar that's healed so that people look back and say, oh, remember that pandemic? Remember how we got smart about that? And now we're over here.
Mm-hmm. We have to do that. As a country, the world, just humanity, right? We have to get to where we need to be in regards to this pandemic. We cannot be defeated by it. Right?
So what signs are you seeing that things are turning around?
It's a feeling. It's a feeling, right? It's something I feel inside. And
in your heart?
Yes, exactly. My heart chakra, right?
Yep.
I mean, this is, and before we start, I told you how, I've been on the spiritual journey, since last year, and I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about energy. I've learned a lot about archangels. I've learned, I work with crystals now. I've learned that, I have these gifts, and it's just something it's in the air. It's just something I feel. And then, if not daily, weekly, when I feel something, I then receive confirmation, right? It could be confirmation from just going to the store, speaking with somebody, seeing something.
Or a lady taps you on the shoulder.
There you go. Or a lady taps you on the shoulder. I have an interesting story too. When I lived in San Diego, this had to be probably back in 2014, maybe 15. I was going through a lot in my life at that time. A lot of it was work related, just really stressed out at work. And it just started boiling over into my home life and even my health. And, I remember coming home from work one day, and I sat on my bed in my room by myself. And I talked to God. I said, I want to know truth. And I heard just audible, just like you and I are talking, Kathy, nothing is as it seems. And then after that, I just began on this journey of truth and discovery and knowledge, and learned a lot about myself, still learning about myself. But then, like I said, 2020, it's tough as a year as it was for the world, for a lot of people. I tell people all the time, that was like the best year of my life. It really was. I learned to face those fears, those same fears that you spoke about earlier. And that child inside, right? That little Justin from when I was 3, 4, 5 years old.
What's your middle name, Justin?
Dan, D-A-N.
Okay, it's Justin Dan. That's who lives inside you.
Yeah, there you go, Justin Dan. And Justin Dan was abused. He had a father who was verbally and physically abusive, who was an alcoholic and a Marine.
So he's scared.
Exactly. So I've learned how to deal with that and to deal with fear. With dealing with fear, I've discovered this freedom, right? This new sense of freedom that has always been inside, but just was suppressed, right? So I'm just growing and I'm learning. And just circling back to your question, with this growth, the spiritual growth that I've had, and during meditation has been life changing for me as well, Kathy. Wow,
it really has.
Yeah, just started doing that last year, and I get messages, visions, and I just feel this energy that, you know, I think the reason that there's been this great awakening where the universe is getting its army together is getting ready for battle. We're in the thick of it. But I think that the negativity, the evil, the dark forces have came up tremendously over the last 20 months because it senses, it knows that the light is rising. And I think there's going to come a point in the future where there will be a big event. And I think it will be life-changing. Change is going to be a huge change for humanity. I really do.
And not just this country.
No. Well, this is
worldwide.
Yes. Worldwide. So.
And I don't think it's far away. I really don't think. I just feel it's not far away.
I don't think so either. I don't know. I think within the next two years, maybe sooner. But it's something. We've changed a lot as a people, humanity, and. There's going to be some more changes. There's going to be some more changes down the line. So, yeah. But, you know, one other thing I want to talk to you about, Kathy, and I probably will chop this up, butcher this so bad, and I asked you, how do you pronounce it? Kintsugi? How do you say it?
Kintsugi.
Kintsugi. I want to learn about that.
Okay, so I got very interested in Japanese art when I was a dean of a college in Santa Ana. My boss was Japanese, and he had a really interesting view of imperfection. And imperfection in Japan is called wabi-sabi. And wabi-sabi means accept things that are imperfect. They're part of your growth. And so I really, from my friend Leon in Santa Ana for all these years, I thought, you know, imperfections, that's why I love scars. You know, they're part of your growth. They're part of what makes you whole. And God says that too. I mean, it's all over the Bible, you know, accept those things. And so I thought, well, you know, if wabi-sabi, which is imperfection, is really something that I really need to understand, I'm going to look into it. And so I started reading about it and found that really the visual of a wabi-sabi is a kintsugi vase. Now, a kintsugi vase is it looks like somebody has taken the vase and thrown it down and then took all the pieces and glued them back together, and they've got gold bonding. And so I want to go get something. I'll be right back. Sure. I made one.
Look at that.
So what I did that. Was I said, I want to learn kintsugi art. Uh-huh. And so I looked all over to find a kintsugi artist. Well, trying to find a Japanese artist in North Carolina is not easy.
Not happening.
No, au contraire. There was a Japanese counselor who taught it in my town.
Ooh, how about that?
She was a kintsugi counselor. So I marched up the stairs and I said, "Hello, I'm Kathy, and I want to write a book about kintsugi." And she said, "Well, you'll have to come in and let me show you how to do the art." And so she's the one who said, "Okay, I want you to go down and I want you to buy vases." And I said, "Well, I'll go to the antique place." And she said, "No, I don't buy expensive ones. We're going to break them." And so I went down to, she said, "Go down to the humanity store where Humane Society. Because they have a little store. Go to the Humane Society because they have little vases." And so I went there and she had me drop it on the pavement. And the vase within a plastic sack. And we went up to her office, and 5 hours later, we had spread out all the pieces, and she talked me through. I mean, it made me cry. It was so emotional because all the pieces are broken. And she said, "This is like people's lives. they're laying out their broken. And I went through the process, Justin, and it was so emotional for me. She said, look at these broken pieces. You know, what do they remind you of? And I said, well, you know, it's never going to heal. And she said, what other way can you look at it? She said, how about you look at them as puzzle pieces? And so she was wonderful. And so I started thinking about all the pieces of this face, like puzzle pieces, and thought, my broken life is like puzzle pieces. You know, it's puzzle pieces that can come together. And so I said, well, I want to watch you put it together. And you know what she said? She said, it's not my art. It's your art. You have to do the art. And I thought, oh, no, I'm not an artist. And so she said, I'm going to sit here and help you. It's the allow help. So she sat there. We cleaned the pieces. It took us 5 hours to clean all the pieces, put it together. I learned how they fit together. I learned all the intricacies of it. It was actually quite painful, but it was really eye-opening. And that's how I created the word scars. You have to stop the broken feelings about the fact that this is a bunch of pieces of stuff, because it isn't. And then you calm your fear and say, this can be fixed. Yes. You know, my fear is not there. And then I said to her, will you help me? And she said, of course. Almost like an angel. Of course I'll help you. And that's how people will be. They'll help you. And yes. So she started helping me put it together. And then I said, well, I don't know. Look at all these little chunks over here. And she said, well, let's put a plan together. If you had the big pieces, because you're going to put glue on them. So she instructed me how to take the big pieces. I mean, I did all of this, but with her. But she instructed me how to do it. We created the plan, and then I brought my vase home. But what I got out of that was, what I can do now is I can look at the Kintsugi vases, and the broken vases with gold sell for about 100 times more than a vase you buy, because they're unique. And they're distinctive. And so what I see is what I'm doing with organizations now is I said, see yourself as a Kintsugi vase. You know, see yourself as having been broken into a lot of pieces, but they're puzzle pieces. And so then take those puzzle pieces and together as a group, come together and glue them with gold and make yourself unique and distinctive. But do it with love.
There you go. Has to be based in love.
Has to be based in love.
That's right.
So Kintsugi for me is going from brokenness to heal based in love.
All right. Excellent. And before I let you go, Kathy, I have to ask you about those Harleys. So tell me. How long have you been riding? What type of Harley do you have? You probably have 2 or 3 Harleys, don't you?
I have. Yeah. My husband, right after my son was killed in 20 years ago, my husband and I rode together. And he was a big guy. He was 6'8". And he loved to ride Harleys. And his lifelong dream was going to Europe on Harleys. So our last, but I didn't know it was our last trip. I didn't know he was sick, but we went to Europe for 6 weeks, and our last trip was over the Alps.
Oh, beautiful.
I know.
Beautiful.
And then when we got back, he discovered he had cancer, and he passed. So I look back at it and say, you know, I've had the ride of my life, you know, but we rode all the time. And do you ride Harleys?
No, I don't. I used to. I used to ride. I had a, this is why, when I was in Michigan, I got like a 2011, I had it for two, and I sold it right before I left. But it wasn't a Harley. I had a, it was a cruiser. It was a Yamaha Striker 1300. Uh-huh. And it was my first bike. I had, you know, took lessons, got my license. And I tell you what, talk about life change. It was the best.
Isn't it something?
Yes.
The wind and the air and the feeling that you have. I mean, I really did love it. And it was so beautiful going over the mountains in Europe. So
Oh my goodness.
I know.
That sounds beautiful.
It's beautiful.
All right. So, Kathy, please tell our listeners where they can find you. I know you have a website. And
I do. My website is kathyhagler.com. Mm-hmm. My book comes out at the end of the month in September. And I would love for you to order a copy and, you know, get in touch with me and let me know how it touches you, and so that we can actually connect.
There you go. There you go. Sounds good. Now, can they, when it comes out, can they order on the website, or is it, I think I saw it, it's going to be on Amazon.
It's going to be on Amazon. It's going to be in bookstores. They can order it on the website. They can order it wherever they want to. And if they, but I really would like to connect with people. I want to connect with people and find out how they've actually healed and how they've actually moved into love.
There you go. Love it. Love it. All right. All right. And one last request for you, Kathy. I ask each and every guest before they leave to leave the Hidden Gateway listeners with what I like to call a token of love. Just maybe a few words that they can take with them going forward on their life journey.
It's what you do now when you don't have to do anything that makes you who you're going to be when you can't do anything about it.
Wow, that is powerful. I think that's one of my favorites right there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy. This has been a great pleasure. It is amazing. Meeting you and having this conversation with you. Again, thanks for taking time out your busy schedule to be with us here on the Hidden Gateway. And to our listeners, we really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hidden Gateway. Remember, you can stay connected with us through thehiddengateway.com. You can also join the discussion on Facebook as well as Instagram. And remember, if you want to connect with us, you can always email us at support@thehiddengateway.com. And this will conclude this week's episode with Dr. Kathy Hagler. Definitely want to wish you well.
Thank you.
Just sending lots of love and positive vibes to you. And continue to be a light, a shining light to the world. And to our listeners, until next time, stay positive, stay questioning, be love, and be free. The Hidden Gateway, out.